Welcome to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, and I'm thrilled to invite you on a transformative journey into the world of functional health and quantum wellness. This podcast is designed to inspire, empower, and guide you as we explore how to achieve optimal health, not just through physical health healing, but by aligning with the deepest, most resonant aspects of your being. In each episode, we dive into cutting-edge science, ancient wisdom, and practical tools to unlock the root causes of your health concerns, transforming them into opportunities for growth, resilience, and abundant wellness. You'll discover insights from quantum medicine, neuroscience, bioenergetics, and more, all crafted to help you live a life that resonates with your highest potential. Join me as we unpack powerful strategies for optimizing your body, mind, and soul, and offer actionable steps to bring greater balance, joy, and vitality into your everyday life. Whether you're seeking to understand the connection between your health and your purpose, or you're ready to experience profound shifts in your well-being, the Resonant Life Podcast is your space to connect, heal, and thrive. Let's embark on this journey of health and resonance together. Welcome to this episode of the Resonant Life Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Layla Doolittle, and I am so excited to welcome Charles Barber, founder of Crucial 4. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to learn more about what he is bringing to the table with the salts, with the minerals, and with the support that he is creating for our bodies. So, Charles, share with us a little bit about your inspiration in building, creating, founding, and really amplifying this world of salts and remineralization and all of the other things that you're bringing to the table with Crucial 4.
Yes, Sam. Thanks for having me. And it's so awesome because we're actually right next to each other and we're getting to connect here. But yeah, the whole premise behind Crucial 4 is this idea that, you know, the food industrial system has basically devoured us of minerals and filled us with chemicals. And yes. So for me, you know, it was all about foods, like where are foods that I can acquire in my diet that can help me remineralize my body. And I never was big on supplementation so much as I was really more so like geared towards foods, eating just better foods. However, I've changed my mind a little bit about supplements. There are some unique ones out there that do work really well for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, you know, I always went for food first. And my journey started from, you know, your traditional diet, and this was like 17 years ago, to like being more of like a raw vegan. I got into like more vegetables and juicing. But during that time, I got really big into herbs and herbalism and Taoism, the shamanic herbal system I really got connected with. I went down to South America a lot, worked with a lot of those guys down there and learned so much. And I also studied the Vedic system. So it's really like three main systems I really studied hard. And what kind of blew me away about the herbs and whatnot is that they contain certain nutrients only found within themselves. So a lot of times, you know, we focus on minerals and we know we're deficient in those, but these herbs, they have minerals. A lot of these herbs have minerals, and the type of herbs I'm talking about are like tonic herbs or superior herbs that you consume daily, but they also have these rare compounds. But what I started to notice was that these herbs were great, but they really weren't quite enough to really create a complete picture for me. And that's when I really got big into like water quality and, you know, kind of all this was happening simultaneously and realizing that, you know, in a perfect world, we drink spring water, we get a lot of minerals through our water in this case. But after finding out like how the spring water's, a lot of it's contaminated. There's a lot of, you know, heavy metals in it. The acid rains depleted a lot of the mineral matrix of spring waters. Like, for instance, so there's a lot of calcium in water and not enough, a lot of magnesium. And even though we need more calcium than magnesium, the levels and ratios were so off that, you know, it really was concerning to me. You know, that I really wanted to stay away from drinking so much calcium water. I am in Texas. I am on limestone. A lot of my water is high calcium. My soil is calcareous clay. Again, even though plants and animals need more calcium, we also need magnesium. And the caveat with that is we're in, you know, the 2000s, we're in 2024 now, and we have a burn rate with magnesium that we don't have with calcium. And so figuring out a way to get more magnesium in the body initially was like a big part of my journey into realizing that the herbs weren't quite enough. You know, I was eating, you know, really high grade cacao, which is number one food source of magnesium. I was eating my greens, juicing my greens, but then learned a lot about oxalates and stuff and like had to really kind of watch how much of that I was putting in the physical. And, you know, when I was figuring all this out, it wasn't necessarily just on me. I had started out working one-on-one with people in my wellness center. And so this is where a lot of this research kind of came from, just seeing people's blood panels. I was working with Diamond Doctors, which is a concierge doctors, MDs. And those medical doctors were cool because it was a concierge service. And so they weren't necessarily educated in nutrition like I was. That's why I tuned up with them. But they were able to give recommendations that they felt confident to get behind, and they weren't pill pushers. And this is actually where I learned a lot. I'm a very right brain person. I'm very passionate. They brought in a lot of left brain analytics that allowed me to like sink my teeth into, you know, the science, which is confirmation from what I was, you know, gathering from the mystical or the spiritual realms, you know, that I would get downloads from or whatever, just reading the history and lore of some of these herbal systems. It's very spiritual and how they approach life and their philosophies on life. So magnesium was kind of like that big jump into, you know, figuring out remineralization. But at the end of the day, there's other foods out there that I found that, you know, back then we called them superfoods. Now it's a wash, right, to say something's a superfood. But, you know, 15 years ago, that's the words we used. So I was really big on finding these foods, mainly like hopefully most of them I found in Blue Zone, but it still had that God print or that intelligence inside of them that weren't hybridized, that were like our cacao. It's a wild variety, but it's wild simulated farming. So it's done a little differently than like most of the cultivar varieties. But I just felt like working with foods in that nature will help with remineralization, like working with these foods that, you know, still have that integrity, like I just mentioned. But yeah, you know, again, I realized that even working with some of those foods, that there was still a need for minerals. And then obviously going back to water, you know, it's like, okay, I can't drink spring water anymore. Like, I really want to make sure, because I remember I loved Mountain Valley. I went to Canton. I was at findingsprings.com and I was drinking water out of glass. I never drank out of plastic. Yes. Like, I always have glass, you know, don't drink out of plastic.
Love it.
And so, yeah, my heavy metal test was high. Like, I drank this spring water and I got my analysis, got my hair follicle back, and like my lead was really high. And I was like, holy sheesh. You know, I was like super clean. I saunaed, I ozoned, I was chelating minerals. So I found, I was like, what is causing all this high lead? And as soon as I switched my water up and started distilling it, and then remineralizing it, and then I can go a little bit farther because I like to restructure it and spin it.
I love that.
Do all the energetics and stuff to it, and, you know, Dr. Emoto's work and stuff that we learned about. That's when the needle moved for me to another level of awareness and consciousness, specifically, especially like in meditation and just my ability to, you know, be more mindful and just be more conscious, you know, and notice there was less barriers there, less fighting.
Absolutely. Yes, because we are electrical beings, and it's that's so important that we have proper amounts of hydration and also the ionization within that hydration for our bodies to structure that the right way, and structuring the water and, you know, making sure that there's that spiritual aspect of it. Water holds so much frequency, and that's one of the things that Crucial Core can bring to the food that we're eating and putting it as fuel sources, as well as the water that we're drinking for that hydrational element or the proper electrical communication and simulation of our systems. I love it. That's amazing. Well, this is very helpful to get this background and this understanding too of a unique perspective, a different perspective for many listeners that may not understand or know about the importance of how they're remineralizing. And where all the sources of minerals have come from in the past are most likely not the tap or they're more tapped, and they're not no longer those senses of the minerals, like say from soil. We don't have that ability for our food to have as much of the mineral content as it typically had in the past. The soil is demineralized and is just stagnant at this point many times over. And, or if they're even growing in soil anymore. Most of our vegetables at this point are in hydroponic systems, and many of those, they're not putting the right mineral balancing factors in or anything else. So.
Yeah, you know, just to add to that, kind of add to what you're saying there with the soil, you know, this has been a huge project for me with the farm. Mm-hmm. It's an R&D farm. It's a laboratory farm where we're working with the Biofood Nutrient Association. We're actually testing the nutrient density of our crops. Mm-hmm. And what's so fun about where I'm at is I'm able to dump just copious amounts of time, energy, and resources into figuring this out.
Wow.
It was never a plan to just grow food and, you know, production. It was always like, hey, how can we, let's assess, let's see what the mineral composition of our foodstuffs are now.
Yes.
And then now let's play with a group and community. And we're all over the world now. Dan Kittredge is a mentor of mine and a super homie. He's the one who's kind of open sourced this data. And right now we're in this data collection. But I just want to say, we are remineralizing our soil. We're figuring out how to do it.
Good.
A big proponent of it, though, is the genetics of the plants that are being grown, too, is what we're finding.
Yes.
So a lot of vegetable farmers are using hybridized varieties of like lettuce. Yes. A lot of market gardeners are doing this. And I understand why. Production, they got, you know, they got to keep the lights on. But these hybridized varieties, these genetics have been kind of contaminated. They've been tampered with a little.
Yes.
And so even though like I struggled, especially in the beginning, growing heirloom varieties, I've noticed every year it gets easier and easier. And then from the analysis that we're getting, like these heirloom varieties actually still have the potential to give us what we had.
Yes.
And we can restore our soil, just like we can restore our gut health and our own health within us. But to speak to what you're saying, most of the food is devoid of minerals. It's grown in a different way. And, you know, I went to school for biochemistry, and I remember in my soil science class, my project was hydroponics, and I built a whole hydroponic system.
Wow.
And I just don't believe that that's the future of farming. I believe that, you know, that food is empty, and even though there's organic, it's a lot of maintenance, it's a lot of energy, and it's a lot of what's called input farming. And what we're finding actually works the best is called zero input farming, closed loop farming, in combination with the Albrecht method and remineralization. And this is a method that's actually cheaper than conventional farming. And so the big argument with organics, right, is that it's too expensive.
Yes.
And that conventional is cheaper, but where there's actually solutions out there that allow us to grow super nutrient dense food in a low cost way.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously I'm having to spend resources and time to figure that out, but that's where we're at. So I want to just let everyone know there is a light at the end of this tunnel.
That's so nice to bring that to the table for sure. Can you tell us a little bit more about that process? Like what brings in more of that, the nutrients to it, like biochemically, speak with as much science as you want to?
Because
I'm fascinated myself and I would love to learn more.
So I just want to say I will be at SMU in October. I'm doing a whole presentation on this. I got invited to speak at the DIG Summit about this.
Nice.
I guess one of the ladies that runs that is a client as well. I don't know how they reached out or found me or whatever, but because I don't feel like my farm channel's like, you know, got that big of a megaphone. But the premise behind all this is yes, our soil, or a lot of the soil that we have is broken. We'll just call it the soil food web is just not as diverse as it needs to be.
Right.
In order for plants to be able to uptake nutrients, because there's a relationship with bacteria and roots. And we're finding out that it's the bacteria that actually break down the nutrients that feed the plants.
Yes.
It's not this model of like, let's pour nitrogen on the soil and the plants take that nitrogen. Which I can go into nitrogen a little bit too. But so the premise here though is that like we have to learn to cultivate plants in more of a cornucopia approach. You know, instead of this like monoculture approach, or just like, right. you know, growing just whatever, corn mm-hmm. or just lettuce or just cabbage. Like,
yes.
we really need to understand that the model that really works to create more diversity in our soil is growing all types of different types of plants, because each yes. type of plant will actually have a different species of microbes that live on it and around it. And a lot of these microbes are known as mycorrhizae, rhiza meaning mm-hmm. root zone. And mm-hmm. when you have certain plants that have certain species next to other plants that have other species, they actually start working together with the fungi.
Yes.
Right? The neural networks that the mycelia. And when the mycelia comes into the picture with this yes. diversity of plants, that's when the magic. The mycelia is like the internet, mm-hmm. right? So it's connecting everything, but yes. it's not the sole solution to this problem. But it, again, it's like the internet. It's like it's yes. the system. It's the software, right. if you will. The
communication signals and such.
That allows yeah. these other microbes and other species of microbes to work with each other. So if I've yes. got a plant, like say I'm growing nettles over here, nettles are, you know, real high in silica and real high in magnesium, mm-hmm. it's a phenomenal plant. And maybe there's some celery over here and it needs a little bit of that. If I've got that fungal food web happening, that neural network there is happening, and those plants are close yes. to each other, they'll be able to signal and say, hey, I need some of this over yes. here. And so now we have this cooperation happening within mm-hmm. the soil food web. And then as time mm-hmm. goes on, this starts to just diversify itself as we, you know, plant different plants, as we're yes. planting flowers, not, you know, mm-hmm. not just vegetables, but learning how, you know, and then obviously the flowers are pollinators. They're also
yes.
Pests. They did, you know, they're resistance to pests. Mm-hmm. They like marigolds. Marigolds are phenomenal to grow because yes. they attract certain bugs and beetles that you might not want on your like cucumber plants or your watermelon plants yes. or your cucumber. Because some of those bugs love those bright orange yellow flowers, mm-hmm. but if they see marigolds there, they'll go after the marigolds.
Yes.
And then you can take those marigolds and you can also feed those to your chickens and stuff. So you can start to create this like full loop system.
Yes.
And as you do that, you start again creating such microbial yes. diversity that mm-hmm. and this is what we're seeing is the key.
And I love that.
It's not anything new. It's what our mm-hmm. our great grandparents did. You know what I mean? Yes. Or at least that's what mine exactly. did. My grandpa. Yeah, my grandpa was getting rewards for regenerative farming before
amazing.
They called it regenerative farming. They called it sustainable agriculture. Yeah, he's yes. got rewards when Bush, and I'm not trying to rep Bush or anything like that, but when he was governor. But I remember yeah. growing up as a kid and seeing my grandpa, well, I'm getting emotional thinking about him, but shaking hands, you know, with this guy and this all the plaques wow. on the wall. And it just, man, yes. really. It was real powerful to see that,
yes.
you know, because it was just so powerful to see that as a child yes. growing up in that. And I think that's kind of like pushed me into that realm.
Wow.
Seeing
and
him
you're carrying
do all
on
that.
His legacy.
Yeah.
He created,
in a way.
Started it, and you're carrying on the baton. And
yeah.
continuing
and his son, my torch. Uncle does too. You know, he's another yes. guy that's just like grass fed beef farmer and does yes. everything, you know, wow. style. So yeah, you know,
so
I feel
beautiful.
Like we're going backwards yes. to get the knowledge. But what's cool yes. is we now have science
yes.
that mm-hmm. we didn't have in the past to verify mm-hmm. and quantify this.
Right.
But yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And the thing that's even more beautiful is that we don't need mega big farms to be mm-hmm. be responsible for this. It's yes. people like you and me that can actually right. grab this bull by the horns.
Yes, and, it is. And spread the awareness and
just grow stuff in our backyard. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Like even
farming the roots
just,
of it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, because it anyway. Really is. It's like an inspiration for community wide, just coming back to the foundations of living well and living true back to the true sources and the root sources. And in functional medicine, we talk so often about the root causes. We go to the root causes of health concerns, health issues. And many times functional medicine just starts chasing down what's the actual concerns that are contributing to diagnoses, But it truly is just as simple as let's go to the roots, let's go to back to what is foundationally happening with our fuel sources. How is our body receiving those building blocks that it should be using for building out the proteins and creating the neurotransmitters and the communication signals and hormones and such to have optimal health? But if we don't have this foundation in place for optimizing the nutrient sources and making sure that we're getting this integration of the microbiome from the root causes, this is truly the root sources of well-being and health and thriving and optimal wellness.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, another thing, another perspective too, I love how you're sharing about the microbiome of a garden and of being able to grow our own food and on a larger scale in farms, how this is so important that we have this diversity. It's the same thing in our bodies, and our systems have so many microbiomes. Our gut is the one that we think of the most, but every single other system also has it. We have a microbiome in our lungs, microbiome of our sinuses, microbiome that is protecting our system and creating the right balance. And it's creating and contributing to those communication signals as well. So just like that mycelium is bringing together that communication signals and the quorum sensing and everything else is actually creating that integration for optimal functioning. Same thing within our own systems. We are absolutely so dependent on it. And we have trillions of cells for microbiome, whereas it's more than our own cells of our body. Like what our cells are and what make us up, we have more cells in our microbiome than we do of our own. And so epigenetically,
we're mainly bacteria.
We have to get back to that diversity. I actually talk about that quite a bit in like a gut healing approach and just restoring microbiome. That's the foundation for every patient that comes in to our offices, making sure that we are starting with this foundation. And it's, I always relate it to the gardening approach of we have to help us balancing back out the microbiome because we have these super bugs that have been like getting creative because of all the toxins that we are putting them through. So like when if we give antibiotics, then it creates the super bugs and these microbiome imbalances. And same thing in our homes, we have black mold and toxicity and this super mold that's growing that is more harmful to our system because of the VOCs and the fire retardants and all these other toxins that it's just picking up on, absorbing, and then it becomes so much more toxic to our system. So no wonder our bodies are reacting so strongly against this. It's creating all this microbiome disruption. But it's like gardening. We just have to help with rebalancing and creating that beautiful diversity to make sure that our systems are restored and set up for success on those communication signals and the support that those that healthy species of bacteria is supposed to help with in our own bodies.
And it takes time. I think people need to hear this, you know, that it takes time. You can't expect, you know, you can expect massive change quickly depending on how sick you are. But it takes time. And for extreme remedies, you know, there's extreme disease, there's extreme remedies. But, you know, if there's a will, there's a way, right? And we're spiritual beings living in a physical realm. So just through the power of thought, feeling, emotions, we can rewire things. And we have everything inside of us that we need to self-heal.
Yes.
A lot of times we just have to get out of our own psychosis, our own way.
That's exactly right.
And
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously nutrition plays a big role in this, especially because of the amount of pollutants in our body, and is definitely a key player in the game. But we also need to realize that our mind is the most powerful healer that we have, because it's through our presence, our Holy Christ self that's within us, the prism oil, that is us, our higher selves. And through that, we can connect to source, to the I am, Asher, Asher. And so it's so nice to be able to know that, because a lot of times we feel like our back's against the wall. We feel like there's no solution.
Yes.
But we have to realize we are the solution. Whether we want to choose to believe it or not, ultimately we will be the solution. Because I've went down the left brain route and just took supplements and thought, you know, didn't really be mindful and not really into meditation. Right. And like, it only works when you combine the two.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
It has to, you know, But I understand, like, with someone super deficient in magnesium and they can't hold space for themselves or their family, that the magnesium might help them get there. And that was kind of the whole premise behind developing Group 4. I felt like these foods could potentially wake someone up that had the megaphone or had the potential to be able to make bigger changes than me that I'll ever be able to make. And maybe that message or that supplement could help, you know, rack the brain, wake them up a little bit enough to like push them in a you know, different trajectory, a different, you know, quantum reality, really. So
absolutely. It's that ripple effect of impact. And we're inspiring so many others around us. And you're bringing this gift to the world to make sure that we do have this foundation and mineralization to help with that mental, emotional, and spiritual evolution of really up-leveling the way that we are going about and expressing ourselves through our daily lives and through our communities. And that ripple effect and that impact is tenfold, more than we can ever imagine.
And I think all this starts with water, which is a great segue into the next point, you know, because we're mainly made of water. You know, the God that created us spoke the word over the water. So, you know, it's like the power of cymatics and water and sound and vibration, you know. And so it's, and just the idea of it, like when we think about water and we think about also salt, the connection there, you know, it's like, it sucks that we can't drink water from the earth. I mean, we can, and I still do occasionally, but at the end of the day, you know, most of it is polluted, but it doesn't mean that can't be remedied, you know, that we can't recreate what nature was creating for us. And maybe it's not going to be energetically exactly the same, but there's technology and devices out there that I could say, like, you know, especially with radionics on water that you probably could, but just understanding that the water has the potential to heal us or kill us. Like if we're drinking out of plastic, you know, it's like, oh, it's purified, but it's in plastic. Like we have to understand water is a solvent. And so it's going to want to bring into itself whatever it's around, whether that's physical chemicals in a plastic bottle or vibration thoughts.
Yes.
Right. So it is the universal solvent. And it is what ultimately created us in some way, shape, or form. So when you think about water, we want to talk about impurities. We want to get those stripped out. But then now we need to have a conversation about, well, in a perfect world, what does water look like? And in a perfect world, water has minerals inside of it.
Yes.
And so the cool thing about that connection is that, like you've said it twice since we've been talking here, is that we're more electrical. We're electrical beings. Yes. And I always say, we're more electrical than we are chemical. So what's going to conduct that electricity in water? That's minerals, right?
Yes.
And we obviously know that most of us, I mean, what's the number one killer in America, right? It's heart disease.
Yes.
It's not cancer. And what organ needs more magnesium than any organ in the body? And that's the heart, right? Mm-hmm. And so the heart will actually rob magnesium from other areas of the body if it doesn't have enough of it. It'll hog it.
Wow.
And so this is one of the first minerals we kind of want to look at. You know, I mean, obviously calcium is the number one mineral needed by the body, but I don't really feel like most people need to supplement calcium, but they definitely need to supplement magnesium.
Yes.
Because we have a burn rate with magnesium. We burn through it, and we're so overloaded with the toxins and pollutants that that burn rate is set up. Stress speeds it up. Working out speeds it up. Sweating speeds it up.
Yes.
That burn rate just gets set up. So we really need to make sure that we're bringing in good forms of magnesium in our bodies.
Yes.
And then, you know, like for me also, the other thing to note is like just sodium chloride. And when we start talking about salt, because without those chlorides, we can't create bleach in our body. And I always say bleach because people are like, what do you mean bleach? Your body produces bleach and it produces it from chlorides. And your immune cells will actually use this to eat mold, eat viruses, eat bacteria. And so that's so powerful because we're told to like, no, whoa, low salt diet. Like don't put salt in your body. And then we're told to eat a bunch of grains. So we wonder why so many people have sugar addictions, or you know, they have all this yeast growing in them, because that those chlorides aren't in the system and they're not producing that bleach, which I believe that it's actually like hypochlorite is the actual term. I believe that actually gets produced. And so, you know, right there in itself, we give one solution to people, like purify your water, add some good, you know, salt to it, sea salt. You're already starting to change the game for yourself. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you're already starting to like purge out some of that stuff. You're giving your immune system what it needs to fight the bad. If you've got a good mineral dense salt, it's going to have those main electrolytes inside of it. Like our M salt is 1.7% magnesium by dry weight matter. Wow. It's the highest form of magnesium of any salt that I've seen. So just like that in itself, right? You're hitting that number there with the magnesium chloride that's in there. I don't know if that's enough for most people. I think they still need to supplement magnesium, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But at the end of the day, like, you need to be adding this sodium chloride and the trace minerals that come with it into our body. Because again, we go back to that, what's conducting this water vessel?
Yes, you know, absolutely. Yeah. And as the building blocks, because this can act as building blocks for our own system to just have everything it needs on a silver platter so that it can build any of the proteins or the communication signals of neurotransmitters or hormones and stuff. But if the body is working with limited resources, limited materials, and it doesn't have what it needs to click it in or to, you know, work on the DNA and up level the way that it's actually replicating cells and creating its structures or even building stem cells from the beginning before those stem cells are differentiated into what the body is needing, its limited resources can cause so many health concerns, can actually contribute to the root cause of health concerns just as a foundational microcellular and integral level. So I love that you're helping with this and bringing in so much of the need that we all have. And there are very few other companies out there that are thinking about it from this biochemical standpoint of what's the right levels and the right types of, you know, balancing effects of these mineralizations that we're bringing back into our system. And that impacts our detoxification centers, like phase two detoxification in the liver. It requires a certain levels of mineralization to be able to get rid of and clear so many different types of toxins. Of course, you mentioned also the immune system. That's what helps protect us against many of those biotoxins and balances our microbiome back out. And so crucial, absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, one other thing that I had some thoughts on is like the extracellular matrix and our fascial systems and how often our systems will hold on to traumas and stressors, and like the sympathetic response, we create a very strong structure of like a fight, flight, or freeze type mode in our system from a somatic sensory approach, from just our bodies naturally trying to protect itself subconsciously. It may not even be in our like conscious mind of how much tension we're holding, but the fascia systems can actually hold on to those trauma responses. Yeah. And we have to have minerals to be able to calm down the fascia systems when our body comes back into nervous system regulation, when we're healing, when we're getting past traumas and starting to release and clear that from the body somatically so that the system, you know, the body keeps the score. We're able to actually clear that out of the system. And the extracellular matrix is what helps to, you know, rebalance some of those trauma systems within the fascia, and that is super dependent on the proper ionization and the proper mineral support for that. And so whenever we think about nervous system regulation and just clearing stressors and traumas, this is one of the most important things that we start with foundationally to give our body that success rate that it needs.
It's a tough process. Yeah, I know about the fascia it's kind of a new thing, right? The myofascial system, learning that it has its own immune system. And when you hear the saying, your issues are in your tissues, they're actually in your fascia. That's what holds the memory. And yeah, I've actually been seeing a lady for 4 years. I go every Thursday and she's a myofascia specialist. You got to meet her because you're in Dallas. She's in McKinney. She got about a 4 or 5 month wait list, so I can get you. You got to meet her.
Yes, please do. That'd be great.
Because I do jujitsu, so sometimes I go in and she's like, what happened to the right side of your face? I'm like, what do you mean? Just got mauled into a mat for 30 minutes, you know? And she oh, no. and I've even had sessions with her where she'll have me in like some weird position like this, and she's stretching me, and we'll be on the power plate, and I'll just start bawling, and I'll start having all these like memories from my childhood that I was holding on to, and then I just and then my heart blasts open, and I'm like having a kundalini, and I'm like holding the parent name, I'm like, what's going on? This is crazy. So it's like, yeah. If anyone is hearing this, and you know, if you know someone that does myofascial release, or if you want a book, Bob Cooley wrote a book, The Genius of Flexibility, and he goes into all this stuff, and he talks about the organs and the meridians and how like certain stretches will release certain emotions and characteristics and personality traits. And you can literally do the stretching and figure out where you're tight in the areas that you're tight. Like it's the yin and yang with personality types. Like someone who's peaceful, what's the opposite of that? Someone who's anxious, right?
Yes.
And so you can go into those organs, and then based on the stretches that you're tight, you could be like, oh, I'm tight here. Oh, this is my liver. Oh, I'm an angry person. Oh, shit. This makes sense, right? And so he gives you the stretches to be able to unblock those channels and release those emotions yourself. You don't necessarily need someone to do it, but if you can find someone that can help you in the assistance of it, man, you can just do like years of therapy, like that, you know? And anyways, I just wanted to add to that with the fascia system, because man, it's so important. And especially people are working out a lot and they're doing traditional like bodybuilding. This is something I dealt with as I started putting on mass, is like a lot of these movements really bind you up and keep you like this and really keep you tight.
Yes, they do.
And that's why like I work with a TRX trainer now from Equinox, and he's really big on like all these complex movements and these loads, and they're so hard for me to do. But when I get done, my whole body's like, it just feels so much better. So I know a lot of people out there are training and working out, and you know, they just really need to be careful with the traditional style of doing that stuff, because it can really mess you up and grind
it
you down.
It definitely does.
Tighten you
up. Takes its toll.
Keep you in that state that you're that fight or flight freeze state. You know, it kind of just because your nervous system is just like, what's happening to me? You know. So. And you went like this, right? And this is exactly what we see when we're tight versus like this open.
So, that's right.
And like stretching like this and moving back. And, you know, it's a physical thing to do this, but it has spiritual connotations. It has, you know, all these different dimensions into it. And, and that's what's so powerful about life, you know, is that like it's multifaceted, multidimensional. We might only know one sector of the dimension, but in reality, there's depth to that, you know? And
I love it. That's beautiful. Yeah, and that is so important that we are clearing some of those stressor responses or trauma responses, or even the myofascial somatic sensory aspects, because, you know, like our bones hold the ability for more of that electrical aspects of the stem cell creation, and of us to release the cells that we need for how our body is going to be able to differentiate, diversify those into exactly what cell types are needed for mentally, emotionally, to start working on the neurotransmitters and to really help with the communication signal. And then it goes into the spiritual aspects of things. Whenever we work on that physical, mental, and emotional health and well-being, then we're able to express more and be more at the day and actually have that greater version of ourselves every single day that we're living at and living through. And that's the deeper meanings in life.
Yeah, I mean, we're all trying to be happy.
Yes.
We can all say we all want to be happier.
Yes.
And no matter what we're doing, we're causing stress. Even when we become excited, that is a form of stress. And that's why I love the Taoist philosophy so much, because it's all about that balance. It's like, it's okay to get upset, but don't get so angry. It's okay to get excited, but try not to get so elated and so excited, because you're creating highs, really high highs and really low lows. And I know there's a time and place for all these things, but at the end of it all, like, that's stress, you know, and
It is.
And that's the ultimate robber of happiness. And yes. So learning to balance that is the key to life, the balance, to the equilibrium, finding that for yourself. You know, yeah. Believe me, I've hit that road wrong many times, especially as a CEO and trying to grow a company. Sometimes I'm like, why do you want to grow? You know, like, where do you want to be like that? Well, the message needs to get out. But, things, learning how to deal with things. You know, there's that saying, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And yes. I've come to the conclusion, there's no destination. We're infinite. It's only, yes, it's true. It's only about the journey. But it almost drove it home for me deeper to realize, okay, I just got to deal with the journey so I can get to the destination. It's like, no, bro, there's no destination. It's only the journey.
That's right.
The only thing we have is the present moment. The only thing we have is right now. And that's the journey. So learn to be here now. Or
that's right.
Die and reincarnate so you figure that out eventually, right? Because eventually you're going to have to figure it out, you know?
That's exactly right. The power of now. You know, I was also curious about your take on salt throughout historical times as like the meaning of salt and how important this has
I love this question. So much
information to the cultures throughout the years. And indigenous cultures were using salt in ways where there was great reverence around salt because they understood and knew how much this amplifies us as electrical beings and helps us with this more spiritual aspects of like greater mission and purpose and meaning in life. And so to share this, any of your perspectives and knowledge and wisdom.
The first
thing
that pops in my mind's eye is like alchemy and salt. And like when you start going down that rabbit hole, when you start getting into the hermetic alchemy principles and stuff like this, like the salt is like really important. And I don't want to go too deep into that because it's kind of like, you know, whatever. But I just want to note
it's interesting. I love it.
It's interesting and something to look into. But the other thing is like the word salary comes from the word salt.
Yeah.
So the Roman soldiers actually used to get paid in salt. They didn't get paid in coins. So this idea of currency, and then when you think of the energy currency of our body, obviously that's ATP, but there's a connection there because that's helping conduct that energy.
Yes,
so some historical downloads there. But the other thing is like with our ancestors, like that's how we preserved food, was with salt. So the amount of salt that we were consuming back then is way higher than the salt we consume now. But we also have to understand that we weren't taking refined salt and using it like, you know, so the food had salt in it because we were pickling things and preserving things. So there's something that happens when salt gets infused into a ferment. And I don't fully understand it. I don't know if anyone does at this point, but it definitely metabolizes completely different in the body.
Yeah.
And it allows us to be able to basically hold those minerals and hold that charge, which then helps with, like I say, our immune cells, our digestion, our skin health, our respiratory health, our heart health, our mineral balance. You know, all of that kind of correlates together when we start talking about salt, which is crazy.
Yes.
But yeah, when you just look at the history of it, like wars were fought over salt mines.
Absolutely.
And if you didn't have salt, you could preserve food
throughout history. Yes.
And
I love it.
Just knowing that the idea, like we consume so much more salt because most of the food we ate was, you know, salted. And it was pickled and whatnot. So
I love it.
It's powerful, right? When you go to the history of it. I mean, it's an essential nutrient. And that's what we have to understand. It's an essential nutrient. So
essential. And I'm curious about those hermetic principles around it and anything else that you want to share in that ancient wisdom, because that's something that I know it resonates with many of our audience members. They're fascinated with and don't know where to study up on things like this. Ancient wisdom.
If you start getting into orbitally rearranged monatomic elements, you start getting into like monoatomic gold and whatnot. There's a sea salt brine solution that you make it from. And so you use the sea, which is, you know, mainly salt. And then when we look at the matrix of the ocean and the matrix of minerals in the ocean water is almost identical to our blood. So the connection there with that, but then also in alchemy, you know, they're adding other things like lye and stuff to make it a monatomic gold, but they're able to, like, they start with seawater. Yes. And those alchemical creations, which are ultimately what Philosopher's Stone was.
Yes.
And so that when you start studying that, like, what was a Philosopher's Stone? What were they consuming? Mm-hmm. I mean, this goes down a rabbit hole, but you
good.
Know, we've got
do
the
it.
Sumerian
go down the
tablets.
Rabbit hole, please.
Yeah, so we've got the Sumerian tablets. We know that there were advanced beings that came down, and there was Homo sapiens was here, and then Homo sapiens disappeared out of nowhere.
Yes.
And so a lot of what we're taught in Orthodox certain religions maybe isn't the whole truth, and maybe the you hate to get like spiritual religious on people.
No, it's okay. Go there, because the Resonant Life podcast is all about this kind of stuff. So,
I grew up in the church. I had a prep. I grew up in the church. I played guitar in the church. My parents still do music in a church. I'm all about church, and I'm all about Christ and Jesus and God. I think it's the best thing ever. But what we have to understand is that, like, before I go into it, just the idea that, like, the original Bible, which is the Ethiopian Bible, has 88 books. And the King James Version Bible, which is what most people read, only has 66 books. Yes. So a lot of information has been taken out. A lot of information has been added. And a lot of things, when we start thinking about, like, the beings that actually created us, maybe they came from somewhere else. And maybe that it wasn't that God didn't create them or didn't create us as original species, but the stories that we've been told, there might be a misname here, because these advanced beings had advanced technology, and they were showing us how to, they created the Philosopher's Stone. That's who created it. And they passed it down. I mean, they're the ones who built the Great Pyramid. Everyone's wondering, who built the pyramids and all this technology? Well, it was these advanced beings, obviously. And we call them aliens, but they were obviously humanoids. Like, they obviously, and if we were to read the story right, their DNA is in us, and our DNA is in them. At this, well, not yes, because we come from their DNA, but we also hear and we read that we're going to be superior to them. That was part of that creation story in the Mesopotamian lith, and is that we were created from their DNA and the Homo sapien that was here, but the person or the being that created us put a little extra sauce in the mix. And then it turned out that, oh wow, the Tower of Babel, these people are building. So this idea that God wiped us out, I don't think it's true. I think that was a being that did that. I don't when I connect with spirit and I connect with God, I don't feel any of that energy of jealousy. A lot of the stuff I read in Deuteronomy about I'm a jealous God, like, that doesn't make sense to me, that you can keep a slave, you can have a woman for yourself, and if you want to keep her, you can choose to do that. A lot of these things don't make sense. And but the sadistic being that was here trying to rule over everyone, that makes sense, you know, and how that energy was being pushed upon us.
Yes.
But the idea here is that this information, like the Philosopher's Stone and a lot of this ancient technology, it was given to us as, you know, and we can choose to use it as a blessing or a curse. Because when you start to get into those deeper realms of alchemy, you understand that this can be used for good or this can be used for bad.
You know?
And so it's interesting. You know, I hate to go into much of a caveat with it.
This is amazing. I'm so fascinated. I love learning from this ancient wisdom. And so thank you for bringing this back around.
Is there's nothing new under the sun. We have all this stuff. It's not so far reach from us. Like, and as we're evolving and we're moving so rapidly now with our science and just spirituality at the same token, you know, all of this stuff is becoming uncovered as we're in this Aquarian age, and we're learning so much about what the ancients knew, but we're also uncoding what they were doing and figuring out how to actually apply those same technologies. It's like the guy in Florida who was out whistling beep, 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 and like moved stones, and the dude's like 5'7", a buck 20, you know. And so, like, the technology here, cymatics, levitation, frequency, like, we're understanding, like, how all this stuff actually works now.
And it's such
powerful time to be alive, you know?
It definitely is. You mentioned earlier cymatics and water and the frequencies of water and then structuring water and just holding in that space of that vibration and upgrading frequencies. And there's so many rabbit holes that we can go down, but let's touch on that really quickly too, because vibration and frequency, that is such a big part of just who we are as electrical beings and how we're frequency and vibration.
Our vibration can heal us or it can kill us.
Yes.
And we have to understand that our heart is a key player in that. Like our heart is sending signals to the brain, not the brain sending signals to the heart. We hear about, we learned about the gut-brain axis, how the gut's connected to the brain. Mm-hmm. And we start to think, oh, it's the gut. It's, you know, 10 years ago, it was the gut. It was the gut. But now with what Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, and these guys are figuring out, it's like, no, it's the heart that runs the show.
Yeah.
And the electromagnetic energy that's coming off the heart, the neurons in the heart are actually the key player in us, again, being able to heal ourselves or slowly kill ourselves.
Yes.
So, and we know that when we're in a vibration of negativity, that our DNA coils down, the sine wave is different, the vibrational wave is different, our DNA coils down. We get into this state like this, you know, you mentioned this earlier about the fight or flight freeze, you know, and this is, and so, but when we're in this state of peace and content and love, the DNA unwinds, it stretches. Yeah. This signal is actually a higher vibration. It's not a long sine wave, which means we have a better chance of certain DNA codons being expressed because the DNA is open now. We have a higher vibration, especially if we can get ourselves in gamma. If we can go from beta to alpha to theta and then gamma. Now we can literally have a full-on kundalini experience, which is similar to what, you know, people have when they do plant medicines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is if you can figure out how to do it yourself, you will spontaneously heal if you have an ailment. You can literally... The science of miracles, this is it. Like, this is taking the mystical and the science and putting it together. Is that it's our heart. Our heart has the ability. Our vibration has the ability and our heart has the ability to literally self-heal of any disease. Like people that were blind can see, people that can't walk. And you can go to Joe Dispenza's conferences and you can actually see this happening. And it's so powerful, right? And that's why I'm always big on, like, if you're not meditating, like, don't even call me. You know what I mean? Like, don't even. It's part of why I stopped doing consulting. You know, obviously things blew up. And I just didn't have the time. But at the end of the day, I got really disenfranchised with people. I'm just going to be honest, because I saw so many people want help and they wanted you to hold their hand. But they were the reason why they were in the situation they were in. And it's very, it almost seems not narcissistic, but very, it kind of does to be like that and to not have that empathy for people.
Mm-hmm.
But the choices we make are what unfold our lives. So we have to understand that, like, for me, I always felt sorry for people and I learned that it was better to be more empathetic and to feel sorry for people, but also to understand that, like, we are our own worst enemies. Like the real war is out there, isn't in Afghanistan. The war is on our consciousness.
Yes, it is. And we have to start that accountability. Right?
Yeah. We have to be accountable. That's a perfect word for it.
Yes.
That's a better word than narcissist.
It's the accountability to step up and know that it is intrinsic and it is internal for the innate system to heal itself from the inside out. And it is the consciousness that has to be aligned and has to be in that coherence with our heart, for us to have the vibrational frequency that allows profound healing to take place.
Yeah.
And our system knows how to heal. Our body knows how to heal. Every single cell wants to function optimally. We just need to get everything out of the way that's preventing that. And that's through creating resilience against toxins, biotoxins, and just allowing the system to do what it does best. And that's the form of optimal functioning. And it's in alignment with that frequency, that vibration of true self. And whenever we have that consciousness aligned with present moment and our system is capable of overcoming every obstacle in the way, perfect. There's that true optimal thriving mode.
That's the sauce right there.
And that's the sauce.
I just also want to say, like, people, we have been through so much trauma.
Yes.
And like generational trauma, mm-hmm. like that we don't even know sometimes, and birth yes. trauma. Like I think about yes. the stuff my wife's Laotian, you know, she was brought here from mm-hmm. Laos, born here, first generation.
Wow.
When I hear about the stories of what her family went through,
yes.
like, wow, you know, like mm-hmm. I had it made. So mm-hmm. it's easier said than done. And I just yes. want to acknowledge that we can sit here and talk and explain how it works, but mm-hmm. it's not easy.
Right.
And we have to people have to realize that, like, it's not easy, mm-hmm. but if there's a will, there's a way. And all the stuff we just mentioned is the power within you.
Yes.
That allows you to be able to self-heal and self-correct. So, you know, supplements are amazing. Foods are amazing. The whole holistic, healthy lifestyle is amazing. But start with thyself. Start with an understanding and quit trying to understand. You don't want to understand mm-hmm. something because then you're under it. You want to understand what's going on and go and be within. And until you become conscious of your inner self, you're going to be, you know, pissing in the wind, so to speak. Because of Texas thing, you know. I grew up, my uncle said that. I'll be trying to fix something. You're pissing in the wind there, bud. You might want to use a wrench instead of a screwdriver on that, you know. I just have memories from my childhood, you know. But yeah, so it's.
But yeah, it can be so pointless to just do so many different things extrinsically outside of ourselves, reaching exogenous. For everything, and then
yeah.
it does affect our body's ability to actually overcome because we're still just seeking everything and just reaching and doing too many things without just being. And so it is about coming back to that centeredness.
So everyone just needs to meditate. And you don't have to sit in lotus and you don't have to like reach higher states of awareness. I just think people just need that. You could walk and meditate, whatever level, yes. where you're at, whatever you feel comfortable. So people are like, I can't sit with my legs crossed. Then don't. Like sit in a chair, sit where you're comfortable and just,
yes.
and just get there. And oh, like my son, I just got him. He's 11 and he's meditated before, but now I'm really kind of pushing yes. a practice with him every Monday because he's with that. Me on Mondays and Fridays. It's yes. private school, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it's so interesting to see him wiggle around and his body. And I just want to say, like, your body's going to, if you consciously choose to change yourself, your unconscious mind only knows the past. So it can only play the past. But your conscious mind is ultimately what you want for your future. So if you tell yourself you want to be less this and more that, get ready. Because you're going to get all the opportunities in the world
yes.
to fix it. Yes. But it doesn't mean that a 30-minute meditation is going to fix it. You still have to choose in this realm, in the conscious realm, mm-hmm. outside of a deep meditative state, you still have to make a choice. But the beautiful thing is if you start to choose who you want to be, and then you mm-hmm. really go in and you say, I need a sign, I need something for when I go in this situation, I need something to rattle me, I need something to shake me so that I remember this moment that we do get in meditation.
Wow. Oh, this is amazing. Beautiful. Yes. I love it. Wow, that's that mic drop moment. That was perfect way to just add a cherry to the top. And thank you so much for sharing this wisdom and this wealth of knowledge around this, around simple concepts of going to the foundations, providing the building blocks, providing solutions for the system, somatic, sensory, mentally, physically, emotionally, for the body to heal, to correct, and consciously, spiritually, we're able to then express in such higher vibrational state beings and also from a more meaningful position in life. Like we're able to actually express our true nature, our true selves, and be in this state of higher resonance. Thank you so much. We are so grateful to have shared this time with you, and we look forward to conversations in the future. Thank you for all that you're doing for the world, the Crucial Four, Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we look forward to our next conversation with you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Resonant Life Podcast. I hope you found our discussion insightful and empowering. Before wrapping up, I want to invite you to explore our resources available through Resonance Wellness. Visit our website to access a wealth of free content, including downloadable guides, insightful articles, and practical tools designed to support your health journey. We also offer a variety of programs and courses that delve deeper into functional medicine, providing you with personalized strategies and expert guidance. If you are interested in learning how to integrate these insights into your own life, I encourage you to book a discovery call with me. Together, we will explore how functional medicine can help you achieve your wellness goals and live a life of optimal wellness. Visit drlayladoolittle.com to download your free resources and schedule your call. I look forward to connecting with you and helping you on your journey to a more resonant and fulfilling life. Until next time, I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, wishing you a day filled with resonance and vibrant well-being. See you in the next episode. Thank you.